إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, I want to remind myself anew that to know is to do, and the one who does not do does not know. I want you to think about this. To know is to do, and the one who does not do actually does not know. The separation of knowledge and action that we have created is something which is of our times. This was not the case with the Sahaba of Rasulullah ﷺ or with any of the people of knowledge of the Salaf. What they knew, they acted on. And if you look at it logically, if somebody says, if you are going somewhere and someone says there is danger here, and you say, yeah, okay, and you continue, then what does it mean? Do you have this knowledge or you don't have the knowledge? If you have the knowledge, then you should take some action to protect yourself. If you are not protecting yourself, that means that you don't have this knowledge, even though the words are there with you. But actually you cannot say that I have the knowledge of this thing. And you can apply that to any number of examples. You know, if somebody tells you, if you are, for example, investing in the share market and you have money to invest, and somebody gives you a insider tip of some, you know, very lucrative share offer, and you listen to the whole thing, you say, yeah, it's okay, and you do nothing, then do you have this knowledge or you don't have the knowledge? Because you have this opportunity to, you know, make a killing, make a really great fortune for yourself, and you have all the information required for that, but you don't act on this information, then can you say that so-and-so is a knowledgeable person? He's not a knowledgeable person. Because the knowledge is of no benefit to him. The knowledge that does not benefit is not knowledge. No, it's a burden. I remind myself and you because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask us, what did you know? Allah will ask us, what did you do? Allah will not ask us to, will not give us a question paper on the Day of Judgment with questions relating to all the Arkan of Salah and all the Faraid of Salah and all the Sunan of Salah and all the Mustahabat of Salah and so on. The question will be with regard to what is the condition of your Salah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ سَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِئُونَ. In Suratul Muminun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined the quality of the believers. And He said that they are the people who have khashiya in their Salah. This does not mean, obviously, if anyone takes a wrong meaning from this to say that therefore knowledge is not important, that would be very foolish, because unless you have correct knowledge, you cannot have correct action. So it is important to know the arkan and so on and so forth of salah to ensure that the salah is correct. But if we fool ourselves and think that just knowing that is enough, it is not enough. You can have all that knowledge and yet your salah is not accepted, because the salah does not have khushu, the salah does not have ikhlas of niyyah, and the salah is being done to show people and so on. So it is very important for us to focus on what are we doing with what we know. I have said this many times. Today we are living in a world where, thanks to the fact that information is easily available, most people, most Muslims, at this point in time, meaning at most adult Muslims, let's put it like that, somebody who is in their late 20s or 30s or 40s, that person already has enough knowledge to be able to enter Jannah without any problem, inshallah. Even if he learns nothing more, from that point onwards, even if he does not learn one letter more, he already knows enough to enter Jannah without a problem, inshallah. But can we say, therefore, that everyone will enter Jannah? No. There's no guarantee. And if they do not enter Jannah, it will not be because they did not have enough knowledge. It will be because they did not act on the knowledge which they had. How many Muslims do not know that the fard salah is fard? Do not know. Do you know anybody like this? I mean, even the non-Muslims know this. If you ask the Hindu or you ask the Christian or somebody, you say, what should a Muslim do? You say, he should pray. How many times? 5 times. They might even say, why should they pray 5 times? But nobody says he should pray 4 times or 3 times. No. Even the non-Muslims know that the Muslims have to pray 5 times a day. So it's not lack of knowledge. It's lack of action on this knowledge. Muslims know they have to pray 5 times a day, but are they praying 5 times a day? Allah knows best. From whatever we know, the vast majority of Muslims do not pray at all. Not 5 times, not 4 times, they don't pray, period. And if you go further into that, and if you say, no, but for the man, it's not only praying 5 times a day, but he should try to do his best to pray those 5 fard salawat in some masjid with the congregation. It's not enough for him to simply pray by himself. Simply praying by yourself is a ijaza, it's a rukhsa. So that you don't completely miss your salah. That's not the rule. You have to understand this. The rule is that the man must pray in the masjid with the jamaat. Any masjid. But he must pray in a masjid with the jamaat. That is the rule. The rukhsa, the exception that is being given is that if for some reason, for some reasonable reason, for some good reason, he is in some place where there is no masjid nearby or whatever, then he should not still miss his salah. Then he is permitted to pray by himself in his house or in his workplace or somewhere alone, by himself. But praying by yourself alone is not the rule. The rule is to pray with the jama'ah. Otherwise, there is no point in having a masjid. Why have a masjid? If everyone is going to pray on their own, then there is no need for a masjid. Right? We should convert all the masajids into malls or something. That's where people seem to go more anyway. So the fact that a Muslim must pray 5 times a day and he must pray in the masjid is a known fact. It's not any great secret, yeah, that you have to go and make bayah to a sheikh, and then after you reach some great daraja, the sheikh will whisper this in your ear. You have to pray 5 times a day. Koi raaz hai kya ye? Falane maslak ka, falane maslak. Ye to aam baat hai. Gair Muslim jaanta hai ye baat ko. So if a Muslim is not praying, it's not because he does not know. It's because he does not do. For whatever, n number of reasons. He does not have khashyatullah, he does not have this, that, whatever. We don't want to go into that. But the point is that what will save him on the day of judgment is not the knowledge that he should have prayed, but whether he actually prayed or not. In Surah Mudathir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked this question. He said, the people of Jannah will ask the people of Jahannam, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What is it that took you into the Saqar, into the Jahannam? And they will say, لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ. They will say that we were not among those who prayed. We did not pray. Will they say we were not among those, we were those who did not know that there was prayer? No. We did not pray. And that will take them into the hellfire. And this question is being asked to the Muslims. Because obviously this question will not be asked to a non-Muslim. What landed you in the hellfire? Well, many things landed him in the hellfire, not praying. What landed him in the hellfire is the whole idea of denial of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and shirk and whatever else. But for the Muslim, so it is the knowledge, real knowledge, which is mentioned in the Quran in many places, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the people of knowledge are not equal to the people who do not have knowledge. Sometimes people mistakenly interpret this ayah to mean that people of knowledge is some alim from some Darul Uloom. This graduate of Madina Munawwara, or graduate of Ummul Qura, or graduate of Al-Azhar, or wherever, Deoband. Allah is not concerned with which Darul Uloom and which Jamia. If you put that as a criterion, then you have to eliminate all the Sahaba, because There was no Jarul Loom and there was no Jamia at that time. So what do you do now? what do you do now? All these Darul Ulum and Jamias are things which are recent. This is not from the Salaf. You have to remove the entire first generation. You probably have to remove all the second generation also. Allah knows best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that there is a difference, the one who has knowledge and the one who does not have knowledge are not equal, what does it mean? It does not mean the one whose head is filled with books and his actions are not, and those books are not seen in the actions. No. It means the one who has knowledge and acts on this knowledge is not the same as the other one who does not do this. The single criterion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of an alim is khashyatullah. Not even amount of knowledge, khashyatullah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that from among the slaves, innama yakhshallaha min ibadihi al-ulama. Allah said, the ones who fear Allah the most are those who have knowledge, are those who are ulama. The condition of being an alim in Islam is not how many books you know, or how many PhDs you have, or which Darul Uloom you graduated from, or not. It's khashyatullah. Do you have the fear of Allah in your heart or not? And the one who has fear of Allah in his heart, he may even know only one hadith, Allah alam. Maybe he knows only some Quran, that he is able to do his salah and so on and so forth, right? But he has the khashyat of Allah. When he stands in salah, there is no one between him and his Rabb. When he stands in salah, the whole world disappears for him. He is only before his Rabb. That one is the alim before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one is the alim, not the one who can stand in salah and recite the whole Quran, no. It's not even a condition of salah. Who told you to recite the whole Quran? Why do you recite the whole Quran in salah? It is not narrated from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he ever recited the entire Quran in one salah. No. There is a narration to say that he recited one ayah for the whole night. One single ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah. But there is no narration to say that he recited the entire Quran in one night, whether it is Ramadan or not Ramadan or what. Never. These are all innovations. These are all things that we have created. Maybe okay, we are not saying it is haram, but at the same time it is also not sunnah. So the point is, to remind myself and you, is let us pick specifically something we know and bring it into our lives. I will end with just one example. How many of us have never heard this hadith, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the meaning of which is that if you go to visit a sick person, for the i'adat of a sick person, if you go to visit a sick person in the morning, 70,000 angels will pray for your maghfirah till the night. And if you go and visit a sick person in the evening, then 70,000 angels will pray for your maghfirah till the morning. How many of us have never heard this hadith? Anybody? We all know this hadith, right? So how many sick people did you visit yesterday? How many sick people did I visit yesterday? And why not? The hadith did not say the one who visits a sick person who is related to him. He did not say one who visits a sick Muslim. He did not say the one who visits a sick person he knows. No, a sick person. Is there any shortage of hospitals in the city? Have you ever seen a hospital which is empty? So what prevents us from going to a hospital? Go to a general hospital where nobody cares who comes, who goes. No visiting hours, no nothing. Go and visit one of the sick people, somebody who's sick. We don't know the person, doesn't matter, some poor person. Take some fruits, take something, maybe some money, whatever. Go sit with them for a little while. Give them something, say salam alaikum and go. Who are you? What are you? No, I'm a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, I just came to visit you. To find out if you are okay. And this is not rocket science, believe me, this is not fantasy. There are people, alhamdulillah, who are actually doing this. I know some people in South Africa, where in government hospital in South Africa, one of the problems is that long lines of people who are waiting to see the doctors. And some of them are elderly and old people and standing with, you know, walkers and so on, and they have to stand for hours before they can get to see the doctor. And if they leave the line, for example, if the person has to go to the toilet or the person is hungry, they have to get some food, if they leave the line, they got to go back to the end. So it's a very big problem for them. So there are these Muslims, alhamdulillah, may Allah bless them, who go every day to these hospitals, to these lines, with sandwiches, with things to eat, and they go and distribute, they go and give it to these people. They say, please stand here, eat your food, you don't have to leave the line. And if the person has to go to relieve themselves or something, one of these people stands in the line for them. They stand in the line and you go and, you know, you go to the toilet, you come back and I'll give you your position, your place is safe. People doing this. And these are business people, teachers, mothers, fathers, people who are, I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, these are people, actual real life people who are doing this in South Africa. And maybe Allah Alam, maybe they're doing it elsewhere. But I'm saying that, are we doing it or not? People may be doing all this everywhere in the world, that will not help us. What will help us is what we do. So as I explained, and with an example, that it's not that we don't know the hadith. We know the hadith. But just knowing that hadith, is it going to get 70,000 angels to pray for us? No. We have to actually do that action. I can know this hadith, I can know the hadith, you know, and I can narrate this whole hadith in Arabic with all the with the isnad and with all the you know, the lines of chains of narration and everything else. But unless I go and actually go and sit by a sick person, no angel is going to be praying for my maghfirah. Simple as that. And you may have some other person who only heard the hadith, maybe even forgot whatever it was, the details. All he remembers is, I should visit some sick person. And he is visiting that sick person on a daily basis. Somebody is going and visiting every day. Now, why don't we do this? Because for us, that knowledge is not real. The knowledge of what does it mean to have 70,000 angels praying for my maghfirat. What does this mean for me on the day of judgment is not real for us. Because if it was real, how can I come back home or go to sleep on even one day without visiting some sick person? It's so easy. So easy. One of the adab of visiting a sick person is you don't sit there for too long. So it's so easy. one of the usul, not that you go and sit there for 1 hour. No, go 5 minutes. Because the person is already sick. You don't go and become a nuisance for that person. No. You go, find out how are you, this, that. Khalas, go home. Even as I said, you know, take some fruit and so on. I am saying this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say take fruit. Alhamdulillah, part of your akhlaq, if you take some fruits, you take some flowers, whatever. Flowers is more Western. In our country, if you take flowers, they say, what to do with the flowers? You know, you can't eat it. Give us something to give bananas. You know, that's better. So whatever. I mean, alhamdulillah, whatever is good for the culture. But the point is that just doing that, 5 minutes of that, is getting this reward, but then the reality of the reward has to be there in our heart. Otherwise, we won't do it. How real is this reward? And that is where we have to bridge this gap between knowledge and action. Between knowledge and action. And then we find that the knowledge actually becomes beneficial for us. It's not a question of collecting knowledge, no. It's a question of acting on the knowledge that we already know. Alhamdulillah, once we cover all that, then we can get some more knowledge, no problem. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it, to bring the reality of this in our hearts, the benefit of actually doing amal. So that we actually start this action. Whatever we know, we start this action. We actually start working on it. So that it starts giving benefit for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.